You may remain seated. To the only wise God be glory forever through Jesus Christ. Amen. You've heard read from that first lesson, Acts chapter 1, verses 15 through 26, the word of the Lord that we meditate on today. We bow our heads in prayer. Lord Jesus, your holy apostles tell us that everything that was written in the past was written to teach us, so that through endurance and the encouragement of the scriptures, we might have hope. Lord, strengthen our hope, our love, and our faith in you. Amen. In the name of Jesus, our best and truest friend, the lover of our souls, dearly redeemed, do you realize that we have members who have had conversations about this text at work? People have actually brought up, what about Judas? They wonder, did he commit suicide? What happened to him? Did he go to hell? That's one of the problems that a lot of Christians have today, talking about that, because so many of their pastors and professors are telling them there is no hell. And they open their Bible again and, boy, it still says there's a hell in there. And Judas went to his place. So they talk about these things and they have questions about that. And honestly, there are questions about this text that we don't necessarily have all the answers for. We don't know exactly how Judas could have botched his own suicide to such an extent that the violence is gory. We're not exactly sure how they decided who that 12th apostle would be that replaced Judas, how they took that vote. And the new translations are muddying the waters. It seems like one in particular is trying to be too politically correct. The Greek here, 14 times, Luke is the only New Testament writer who uses this Greek expression, andres adelphoi. It literally means men, brothers. And andres is a word that's not generic. It means males. So we know women were here. And we know that Luke in his gospel and the book of Acts in particular tells us about more women that are supporting Jesus out of their own means. And they're there out of love and loyalty to the Lord. Luke is very, Dorcas and Lydia from the book of Acts, you know them. But 14 times in Acts alone, he's the only one in any of his writings in the New Testament that says, men, brothers, andres adelphoi. So that's one of the problems with that new NIV 2011. They want to put brothers and sisters in here. It doesn't fit the context. So we got questions, but some things are pretty clear. We take the words as they are. What if we could hear from one of the individuals that was there? It'd be pretend, but what if? Not all the details are going to be nailed down too hard. We're going to have to take our best guess in some cases. But you see if you can figure out, by the end of this sermon, who this individual is. When the disciples came to that day, when they had to answer the question, what about Judas? You don't know me, but I was there the whole time. I saw it all. From the time when Jesus was baptized to the time when he went up to heaven, I was there. I heard it all. And I definitely felt sorry for Peter and Judas. And, you know, you don't hear my name because the focus was always on Jesus, but there were those times when we hear some dumb things that some disciples did. But you know, Peter denied Jesus and I ran away too. I wasn't there. And Judas, What a shock. Everybody knew he was the treasurer who was embezzling the money that the disciples had in the treasury, and a lot of that was given by the women from Galilee. But what he finally did, that was a terrible shock to get that news. It was awful for everybody. This happened during the 10 days between that Thursday of Ascension, always 40 days after Easter, and Pentecost, which you're going to be celebrating next Sunday, the 50th day from Easter and the birth of the New Testament church. It was in that time when the Christians would gather together during those 10 days, and we were waiting in Jerusalem as Jesus had commanded, and I was with them, and whenever we'd get together, there were about 120 of us. And the women were there, Mary, the mother of Jesus, and Jesus' brothers by this time too. They finally came around and believed that Jesus was the Messiah. So we were there on that day when they had to solve this problem. Peter stood up and he said, "Men, brothers, the scriptures had to be fulfilled which the Holy Spirit spoke about long ago through the mouth of David concerning Judas, who served as guide for those who arrested Jesus. He was one of our number and shared in this ministry." And I remember those happy days when Judas was chosen and he was so gung-ho for Jesus. I mean, he was so highly respected that, you know, being the treasurer, that was the big deal. And I watched and I listened and I wondered at the way Jesus could preach and teach. And Judas heard all those words too from the perfect preacher and the perfect teacher. You know what happened to Judas? You can't blame the preacher, because Jesus was the best there ever was. And look what happened to him. Peter said that what came out of the mouth of the Holy Spirit had to be fulfilled, but we were all very clear on this. This was not the will of God that happened to Judas. Judas was one of those people that God finally has to say, "All right, have it your way." Because I can remember how Jesus would try so hard to get through to Judas, especially toward the end of that 3 years. In the upper room, they said how Jesus actually said, "I'm giving the piece of bread to the one who will deny me." And he actually said to Judas, "It is you." And he still went out into the night. And I remember how Judas came in the Garden of Gethsemane. They said he actually walked up to Jesus to give him a kiss. And Jesus was trying to get through to him and said, "You betray the Son of Man with a kiss?" And finally, Jesus just said to him what he has to say to everybody that wants to go their own way, have it your way. He said, "Friend, do what you came for." And Judas did. You know, you have an expression in English. I think it's used more for like military pilots with a military plane. If you crash a military plane, they'll say, "He bought it." Judas bought it twice. He paid he received 30 pieces of silver in order to betray Jesus like a common slave. That was the price. And then remember, he tried to give it back, but the Jewish leaders didn't want it. So he ended up with that 30 pieces of silver buying a field. But it's also the field where he bought it the other way. We don't know all the details how it happened, but everybody in Jerusalem heard about it. How he tried to hang himself, and he did it in such a violent way that his body broke open and his intestines spilled out. We had heard Jesus and the gospel writers talked about Jesus, how from deep inside him, he would well up with compassion for people, but Judas, boy, he was the other way. He just wouldn't accept what Jesus was saying. So he bought the field of blood with his own blood, and they bought that field of blood to bury commoners there with the money that Judas got for Jesus. And that was the problem. Judas had the sorrow, and I understand that sorrow. Anybody that believes in Jesus understands the sorrow. When you realize that you've sinned against God and you're sorry for that, that's as far as Judas got. He didn't believe that Jesus was the one who came to wash away his sins with his blood, and so he never had that comfort like Peter and Paul and me. To know that Jesus is the Savior of all and that your sins are all forgiven, that's the true kind of godly sorrow that leads to repentance and leaves no regret. But this worldly sorrow, like with Judas, leads only to death. So Peter said we had some work to do. He said, it's written in the book of Psalms, may his place be deserted, let there be no one to dwell in it. And another psalm, may another take his place of leadership. So they had a decision to make. And I have to tell you, as Peter started to talk about this, I think I probably got a little red in the face. Because I think I was one of those. Peter said, it's necessary to choose one of the men who have been with us the whole time the Lord Jesus went in and out among us, beginning from John's baptism to the time when Jesus was taken up from us, for one of these must become a witness with us of his resurrection. And oh, that 3 years of awesome wonder with Jesus just flashed through my mind again. It went by so fast. The wonderful lessons that Jesus could make just everywhere. You'd see a man sowing seed and Jesus would make a lesson out of it. He could take things that were so common and known to everybody and he would tell us, I remember how sad I was and how I felt like that son that ran away from God, from his father, and then just wasted everything. And how happy I was when he talked about that son coming to his senses and coming back to the Father, who's obviously our Heavenly Father, how he was welcomed with open arms. When Jesus would preach the gospel, it was so sweet to hear about the full and free forgiveness that he came to give. And you know the miracles? Later on, John wrote in his gospel that if you wrote down all the miracles that Jesus did in his lifetime, the whole world would not have enough room for all the books. No one ever did miracles like Jesus. He made it look so easy. And I saw all that. And when Peter said this, I knew I was on the short list. There were two of us. And they decided to put the matter in God's hands. So they didn't have speeches. There was no political campaigning. They prayed. And Peter said, as they prayed, Lord, you know everyone's heart. Show us which of these two you have chosen to take over this apostolic ministry which Judas left to go where he belongs. And then they all took a broken piece of pottery and they wrote one of our two names on there and put it into a jar. And Peter shook it up and then he tipped it just far enough so that one name fell out. And you know the name. Matthias. Later on, we heard that he had gone to Ethiopia and there honored God by giving up his life as a Christian martyr. And by now you know I'm the other guy. My given name was Joseph Barsabbas. My friends called me Justus. You would call me Justin. And that was the day when the Lord chose Matthias instead of me. But you know, I'm not sad about that. I would rather be a doorkeeper in the house of the Lord than to dwell in the tents of wickedness. That's from another psalm. All of us as disciples have lots of work to do. You know that. You have so much purpose in your life to tell everybody you know about who Jesus is, who gave his life for us all. I'm just so glad that he died for me. And you know he also died for you. And he died for all, that those who live should no longer live for themselves, but for him who died for them and was raised again. That was the day when my whole life could have changed a different way. I'm just glad to have work to do for Jesus to say thank you because he got through to me. I don't ever want Jesus to have to say to me, have it your way. Jesus taught me to pray to God, have it your way. Thy will be done. Thy will be done. Amen. Please rise.